Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we're unraveling a truly fascinating business story. Imagine building a massive, diversified company, not by inventing the next revolutionary tech gadget, but by, well, cleverly, systematically acquiring smaller, highly successful businesses. How does a company grow from its humble beginnings to a multi-billion dollar enterprise through a series of strategic purchases, almost like building a mosaic, you know, piece by piece? Our mission today is to take a deep dive into TerraVest Industries, Inc., traded as TVK on the TSX. We've pored over a stack of compelling research on this North American industrial manufacturer. Our goal, to unpack their unique growth strategy, understand the powerful forces driving them, and really dig into the big questions surrounding their future. So who exactly is TerraVest? At its heart, it's a diversified North American industrial manufacturer. And their core objective is remarkably simple, yet incredibly effective. Consistently grow free cash flow per share for investors. They pursue this through a dual-pronged strategy, fostering organic growth within their existing units, but more critically, an aggressive, almost relentless program of acquiring market-leading businesses. They operate through four main segments: HVAC and containment, compressed gas equipment, processing equipment, and service. Together, these segments serve absolutely essential markets like energy, agriculture, transportation, and construction across Canada and the U.S. Here's where it gets particularly interesting. TerraVest presents a compelling dichotomy, a real push and pull between two powerful narratives. On one side, the bull case is all about management's undeniable, proven ability to execute a successful roll-up strategy. It highlights their established leadership in highly defensible niche markets, their strong operational execution, and what appears to be a robust acquisition pipeline. It sounds like a well-oiled machine, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and their track record for execution is impressive. But on the flip side, the bear case raises some really significant flags that demand our attention. The sheer scale of their recent acquisitions, especially the truly transformative Entrans deal, introduces escalating and complex integration challenges. Their end markets, despite appearing diversified, remain inherently cyclical and sensitive to broader economic conditions and commodity prices. Furthermore, the reliance on debt and leverage to fund this rapid expansion has undoubtedly stretched their balance sheet. And perhaps most notably, a pattern of significant recent insider selling by key executives at elevated share prices warrants very careful consideration. It begs the question, what are they seeing?
That's a powerful counterpoint. It seems like the company's own success is creating its biggest challenges. So for our deep dive today, we're going to journey from understanding their distinct business segments and the diverse markets they operate in to their financial performance and those competitive advantages you just hinted at. Then we'll look at their future growth opportunities and finally dive headfirst into those critical risks and valuation considerations, trying to reconcile that bull-bear tension. By the end of this deep dive, you'll have a complete picture of what makes TerraVest tick and exactly what to keep a very close eye on. All right, let's begin to unpack TerraVest's blueprint. At its core, you mentioned their corporate mandate is about generating sustainable growth and free cash flow per share. It's not about flashy inventions, it's about smart strategic growth. How does their unique business model, this holding company structure, actually enable that? What's the secret sauce?
Well, the secret sauce, if you will, is quite disciplined. TerraVest operates effectively as a holding company, but it's much more than just a passive owner. Their foundational business model revolves around methodically identifying and acquiring companies that already hold strong positions in niche industrial markets. These are often businesses that are too specialized, or perhaps too small, to genuinely attract the attention of larger, diversified corporate acquirers. Think of it less like a sprawling conglomerate and more like a carefully curated collection of best-in-class, specialized businesses, each with its own established identity and market segment.
So it's not just about buying any company, but strategically picking out those hidden gems.
Precisely. Once acquired, TerraVest provides centralized financial and operational support to enhance performance across the portfolio. But here's the critical part. Unlike many acquirers, they often retain the strong brand identity and operational expertise of the acquired company. This decentralized operational approach, coupled with centralized capital allocation and strategic oversight, is absolutely key to their model. The ultimate success, therefore, hinges entirely on their management's acumen, their ability to shrewdly identify suitable targets, negotiate favorable acquisition terms, and then effectively integrate these disparate operations to realize synergies and drive incremental cash flow. It's a continuous, disciplined process of identifying a good fit, buying it, and then empowering it.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like they're building a puzzle piece by piece, but each piece is already a mini masterpiece in its own right, and they're simply providing the framework to connect them. So what are these pieces? You mentioned there are four pillars, their main business segments. Can we break those down for our listeners and give them a clearer picture of what TerraVest actually does?
Absolutely. TerraVest organizes its operations into four distinct segments, each catering to specific essential end markets. First, we have HVAC and containment equipment. This segment is a leading manufacturer and distributor of products for heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and, importantly, liquid containment. Their core products include commercial and residential refined fuel tanks, which are primarily used for home heating oil, as well as furnaces, boilers, and even air conditioning equipment. They also produce specialized containment solutions like chemical storage tanks, wastewater treatment systems, and grease interceptors. What's crucial here and really sets them apart is their market position. They hold a dominant #1 market share in North American home heating oil tanks.
Wow, number one. So if you're living in a colder climate, especially somewhere that still relies on heating oil, there's a really good chance TerraVest is part of keeping your home warm. That's a pretty fundamental essential product.
Precisely. Next up is compressed gas equipment. This segment manufactures a wide array of engineered products for the safe storage, transportation, and distribution of compressed gases. We're talking about everything from large-scale storage vessels to specialized transport vehicles for propane, anhydrous ammonia, NH3, and natural gas liquids, NGLs. TerraVest is uniquely positioned here as the only manufacturer with a coast-to-coast national footprint in Canada for this equipment. Furthermore, they are ranked as a top 3 manufacturer in the United States. This national presence in Canada is a significant logistical and capital barrier to entry for potential competitors.
That national footprint in Canada sounds like a serious competitive advantage. Makes them pretty indispensable there for critical infrastructure, doesn't it?
All right.
It truly is. Our third segment is processing equipment. This segment fabricates highly specialized equipment for various processing industries. Their primary end markets include the upstream and midstream oil and gas production sectors, the burgeoning renewable natural gas or biogas sector, as well as water treatment and mining. Products range from wellhead processing equipment and tanks to desanding equipment and highly custom-built process machinery. In this segment, they are the #1 player in the Canadian wellhead processing equipment market.
Okay, so that's a direct link to the energy sector, which, as we know, can be pretty dynamic, volatile even. And finally, the fourth segment.
The fourth segment is service. This provides a comprehensive suite of essential services, primarily to the energy sector, with a strong concentration in Western Canada. Their offerings include water management, environmental solutions, equipment rentals, heating services, and crucial well servicing. This segment is recognized for its technological innovation and serves many of the largest energy producers in Canada. So they're not just manufacturing and selling equipment, they're also providing critical support for its ongoing operation and the broader energy infrastructure. They're embedded in the process, you could say.
That's a really comprehensive breakdown. It's clear they have their fingers in many different critical industrial pies. Almost feels like a mini economy unto itself. Now, you mentioned that the engine of TerraVest's growth is its aggressive M&A strategy. How has that accelerated, and what's the big picture with their recent deals, especially this Entrends acquisition that keeps coming up? It sounds like a real game changer.
It absolutely is a game changer. The company's growth is indeed largely driven by its aggressive, systematic acquisition strategy, which has significantly accelerated in recent years. This isn't just growth, it's a supercharged growth engine for their top line. The most notable example, the one that truly stands out and fundamentally alters their business, is the transformative Entrends International LLC deal. In March 2025, TerraVest acquired 100% of Entrends for a cash consideration of US$546 million, plus up to an additional US$46 million in contingent earnout payments.
US$546 million in cash, plus an earnout. That's a massive amount of capital for TerraVest. What does Entrends bring to the table that justifies that kind of investment and makes it so impactful?
Well, Entrends is a premier manufacturer of tank trailers, heavy haul trailers, and LPG transportation equipment. It operates under well-respected established brands like Hal Trailer, Polar Tank Trailer, Kellen Siebert, and Jarco. The significance of this acquisition cannot be overstated because it fundamentally increases TerraVest's scale and dramatically shifts its business mix. Their exposure is now much more heavily weighted towards the transportation equipment sector, serving mission-critical industries like petroleum, chemical, and food-grade transport. The key insight here: Terravis isn't just buying companies. It's fundamentally rewriting its own business identity with each massive acquisition. You really have to watch out for that if you're looking at historical analysis.
So this deal isn't just an addition. It's a fundamental shift in their identity. That must really change how we analyze the company, correct? Its risk profile, its growth drivers.
Precisely. The impact on analysis is profound. Historical performance data for Terravis becomes less predictive because a substantial portion of its future earnings will now be tied more closely to the broader North American freight and transportation cycle rather than primarily just the weather or energy commodity prices. It's a new ballgame, really, and investors need to adjust their lens accordingly. This landmark transaction followed a series of other strategic acquisitions in fiscal 2024 and 2025. These include Advanced Engineered Products, LTD, AEPL, a leading Canadian tank trailer manufacturer, and Highland Tank Holdings, HT, a manufacturer of steel storage tanks. They also made other smaller bolt-on acquisitions like LBT Inc., Simplex Inc., and Tankcon FRP Inc. This shows consistent, methodical, and accelerating approach to expansion.
And how are they financing this rapid expansion? Deals of this size must require a lot of capital and some careful financial maneuvering, I'd imagine.
They certainly do. The Entrends acquisition itself was initially funded by existing cash in an amended credit facility. And then, in May 2025, Terravis executed a large bought deal equity offering. It was initially announced at $240 million, but due to strong investor demand, it was upsized to approximately $279 million. The proceeds from that offering were explicitly earmarked for debt repayment from recent acquisitions and strengthening the balance sheet for future acquisitions. This cycle of leveraging up for a major acquisition and then delevering through cash flow generation or, when necessary, through equity issuance is a hallmark of their financial strategy. This raises an important question, though. How sustainable is this model, especially with deals of this magnitude? The market is watching closely to see if they can continue to execute at this increased scale without, tripping over their own growth.
That's a critical point. The sheer scale of these deals, particularly Entrends, really puts their integration capabilities to the test. Let's move on to the market currents they're navigating. They operate in diverse end markets, which theoretically offers some resilience, but what are the specific dynamics at play? Let's start with the propane and NGL market environment, which impacts their HVAC and compressed gas segments. I imagine this one is quite sensitive to the weather.
You're absolutely right on the weather. The propane and NGL market is quite interesting. It has diverse demand drivers, spanning residential, commercial, industrial, and agricultural sectors. The residential segment is particularly significant, especially in rural and non-urban areas, where access to natural gas infrastructure is limited. This creates a highly seasonal demand profile, with consumption peaking sharply during colder winter months for heating purposes. So, when those chilly Canadian winters hit, or a deep freeze sweeps across the American Midwest, you immediately see why this segment is crucial for Terravis. Conversely, unusually warm winters can significantly and negatively impact demand for both propane and the heating equipment Terravis manufactures. It's a real swing factor.
So their sales can literally depend on how cold it gets. That's quite a variable. What's the long-term outlook for this market? Is it just reliant on harsh winters, or is there more to it?
Fortunately, it's more than just the weather. The North American propane market actually exhibits a robust growth outlook. The U.S. market alone was valued at $26.62 billion in 2022 and is projected to expand at a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 11.39% through 2030. The global market is forecast to grow at a similarly strong 12.3% CAGR through 2032. This provides a substantial secular tailwind for Terravis businesses involved in propane storage and transport equipment. Propane is often seen as a clean, burning, and cost-effective alternative to other energy sources, and the U.S. being a net exporter ensures a stable supply for the North American market, further supporting demand.
That's strong projected growth, which is definitely a good sign for those segments. What about the broader compressed and industrial gas storage market? Is that as volatile as propane?
No, that market is generally characterized by steady, moderate, and quite predictable growth. The North American compressed gas market is forecast to grow at a 5.1% CAGR between 2025 and 2030, reaching a projected value of $1.43 billion. More specifically, the market for gas cylinders in North America is expected to grow at a 4.6% CAGR over a similar period. This market involves industrial gases like nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide, which are essential inputs for a wide range of manufacturing processes and industries. The healthcare and pharmaceutical sectors, for instance, are significant growth drivers with increasing use of medical-grade gases. Importantly, the storage and transportation of these gases are governed by stringent safety and environmental regulations. While these regulations represent compliance costs, they also act as a significant barrier to entry for new competitors, effectively creating a protective moat around established and certified manufacturers like Terravest.
Ah, so regulation actually creates a moat here. Interesting. It protects their position from new entrants. That's a good thing, I suppose. Now, their processing equipment and service segments are closely tied to the energy sector. What's the cyclical story there, and are there any emerging opportunities that can maybe diversify them from the typical boom and bust of oil and gas?
Yeah, these segments are indeed directly exposed to the inherent cyclicality of the North American energy industry, particularly the capital expenditure cycles of oil and gas producers. Demand for wellhead processing equipment and related services is highly correlated with drilling and production activity, which is dictated by producer budgets that are heavily influenced by volatile commodity prices like WTI crude oil. This exposes these segments to significant volatility, making them sensitive to every ripple in the energy market. It can be quite a roller coaster. However, beyond the purely cyclical factors, there are secular trends providing some intriguing opportunities. The increasing technical complexity of modern wells, such as longer horizontal laterals and multi-stage fracking, drives demand for more sophisticated and efficient processing equipment. And a key emerging opportunity, one that could be a crucial pivot for them, diversifying their energy exposure, is the rapid growth of the renewable natural gas or biogas industry. This sector is driven by global decarbonization policies and ESG mandates and requires specialized processing equipment that falls squarely within TerraVest's manufacturing capabilities. This offers a potential long-term growth avenue that is inherently less correlated with traditional fossil fuel cycles, which is incredibly appealing for long-term stability.
That's an interesting diversification play within the broader energy space, tapping into a growing clean energy trend. Definitely something to watch. Now, for any manufacturer, raw materials are always a big deal. How does the cost and availability of steel impact them, given it's a primary input for so many of their products?
Oh, it's an absolutely critical dynamic affecting all of TerraVest's manufacturing segments. Steel is the primary input for their tanks, vessels, and trailers. And its price is subject to global market fluctuations, driven by everything from geopolitical events to supply chain disruptions. The company's ability to manage this input cost volatility is a key determinant of profitability. While TerraVest does attempt to pass on price increases to customers, there's often a time lag. This can really compress margins during periods of rapid cost inflation as they absorb higher costs before they can adjust their selling prices.
Right. So if I'm understanding this correctly, while they're diversified across markets, heating, gas, transportation, energy services, all these segments are fundamentally pro-cyclical. This means a broad economic slowdown or recession would likely put pressure across the board. The diversification benefit is more about smoothing earnings and mitigating single sector shocks rather than creating an acyclical, recession-proof business. Is that the right takeaway?
That's precisely it. You've hit on a critical point. They are diversified across different pro-cyclical markets, which certainly helps to mitigate the impact of a downturn in any single sector. So if the energy market dips, perhaps construction or heating demand holds up better, relatively speaking. But a broad-based economic recession that impacts all industrial activity would likely exert negative pressure across the entire portfolio. It's important for listeners to understand that this isn't a truly defensive, counter-cyclical business model designed to thrive in a downturn. It's designed for resilience within cyclicality.
That brings us nicely to their competitive edge. So what truly sets TerraVest apart in these fragmented markets, despite that underlying cyclicality? What are their moats, to use that popular investment term?
That's a crucial question, because competitive advantage is where long-term value is truly built. TerraVest has successfully cultivated several competitive advantages that create durable moats around its core businesses. And this is interesting because they don't possess proprietary technology in the traditional sense, like, say, a tech company. First, and very importantly, is their market leadership in niche segments. As we discussed, they are the #1 manufacturer of home heating oil tanks in North America and the #1 player in Canadian wellhead processing equipment. They're also a top 3 manufacturer in the U.S. for LPG and NGL storage and transport equipment. This leadership provides significant benefits of scale, manufacturing, and purchasing, giving them better leverage with suppliers, and crucially, some degree of pricing power with customers. Second, they have a truly unique national footprint in Canada. They are the sole manufacturer of LPG, NH3, and NGL storage and transport equipment with a coast-to-coast operational presence in Canada. This extensive network for manufacturing, sales, and service represents a substantial logistical and capital barrier for any potential new entrants or smaller regional competitors. It's extraordinarily hard and expensive to replicate. Third, a strong brand reputation and longevity. Many of the brands within the TerraVest portfolio have been in operation for over 50 years, some much longer. For safety-critical products like pressure vessels and fuel transport vehicles, this long-standing reputation for quality and reliability is an incredibly powerful competitive advantage. You don't just buy a new 50,000-gallon chemical tank from a random new company, right? You buy from someone with a proven, decades-long track record. This fosters deep customer loyalty and trust. Fourth, they offer comprehensive product offerings and engineering expertise. In their LPG NGL segment, for example, they boast the broadest product scope among their North American competitors, all supported by significant in-house engineering capabilities. This positions them as a comprehensive solutions provider, or a one-stop shop, which deepens customer relationships and makes them a more integral supplier in complex projects. And finally, perhaps the most significant advantage is at the corporate level. Their proven execution of the roll-up strategy. This is their core competency, their secret sauce, really. Management has a repeatable process of identifying market-leading brands in fragmented industries, acquiring them at attractive valuations, and effectively integrating them to achieve operational efficiencies and drive growth. This skill in disciplined capital allocation and M&A execution is the central pillar of their value creation model. It's a strategic asset in itself.
That's a really solid set of advantages. It highlights that innovation isn't just about new products, but also about mastering a unique business process. But every company faces threats. What are the competitive threats and barriers to entry that they still have to contend with, even with these moats? No moat is perfectly impenetrable, right?
Exactly. No moat is perfect. Despite these strengths, TerraVest faces persistent competitive threats. Larger, well-capitalized competitors may possess greater financial resources to invest in product development or marketing. Meanwhile, smaller, more nimble regional players can sometimes compete effectively on price due to lower overhead structures. It's a constant squeeze from both ends. As for barriers to entry, they are indeed substantial, but certainly not insurmountable. These include the significant capital investment required for state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities, the need to build extensive distribution and service networks, the stringent regulatory and certification requirements for products like pressure vessels, and the immense time required to build a trusted brand reputation in safety-critical industries. It's a high hurdle, but not an impossible one. A key constraint on their competitive power is their pricing power. While their market leadership provides some leverage, the company has noted that its ability to pass through increases in input costs, like steel, often lags, particularly during volatile periods. This indicates that their pricing power isn't absolute and is constrained by the underlying competitive environment and the bargaining power of their customers. Finally, their processing equipment and service segments exhibit a high degree of customer concentration. They derive a significant portion of their revenue from a limited number of major energy producers. While these deep relationships are undeniably a strength during market upswings, they also represent a concentrated risk. The loss of, or a significant reduction in capital spending from just one or two of these key customers, especially during an industry downturn, could have a disproportionately negative impact on revenue and profitability for these specific segments.
That's a crucial point about customer concentration. It shows that even with strategic diversification, specific vulnerabilities can definitely remain. Now let's talk about the numbers game. Their financial performance has been quite a story, largely driven by this M&A engine you keep mentioning. Can you walk us through their revenue growth trajectory? Is it all just acquisitions, or is there any organic spice in there?
Well, TerraVest's revenue growth over the past 5 years has been truly exceptional, almost exclusively propelled by its aggressive acquisition strategy. Total annual revenues have expanded dramatically from C$307.5 million in fiscal year 2021 to an impressive C$911.8 million in fiscal year 2024. Their trailing 12-month, or TTM, revenues now exceed a staggering C$1 billion. In fiscal year 2024, which ended September 30, 2024, sales increased by a robust 34% year-over-year, climbing from C$678.4 million in FY 2023 to C$911.8 million. However, the key insight here, one that really highlights just how much of their growth story is written through acquisitions, is that when you strip out the contributions from recent major acquisitions like AEPL and Highland Tank, the organic growth of their base portfolio was a modest 4% for the year. This pattern clearly underscores the degree to which the company's top-line performance is dependent on M&A. The trend has continued into fiscal 2025. For the second quarter ended March 31, 2025, reported revenue increased by 45% year-over-year. While the base portfolio did grow by a healthier 14% in that quarter, the majority of the headline growth still came from acquired businesses.
So while growth is impressive, it's mostly bought, not always built organically.
So while the headline numbers are indeed impressive, it seems a huge chunk of that growth is from buying other companies, not necessarily growing existing ones organically. How has that translated into profitability? Has it been profitable growth or just growth for growth's sake?
That's a great question. They've largely succeeded in translating that acquisition-led revenue growth into higher absolute profits and, in some cases, improved margins, which is a testament to their integration capabilities. Gru's profit has climbed from $80.6 million in FY 2021 to $263.4 million in FY 2024. More importantly, the gross profit margin has shown a consistent upward trend, expanding from approximately 26.2% in FY 2021 to 28.9% in FY 2024. Management attributes this improvement to the addition of higher margin acquired businesses, a more favorable product mix, and disciplined cost control. Operating income grew from $46.6 million in FY 2021 to $120.2 million in FY 2024, and net income attributable to shareholders increased from $36.4 million in FY 2021 to $63.6 million in FY 2024, with FY 2024 showing a 48% year-over-year increase. Adjusted EBITDA, which is a key performance metric for them and often what investors look at for cash-generating power, has grown even faster, increasing by 56% in FY 2024 from $121.6 million to $189.6 million. This outsized growth relative to revenue highlights significant operating leverage and margin expansion at the EBITDA level.
However, a critical nuance, and one that often gets overlooked, is the growing divergence between adjusted EBITDA and net income. This is primarily driven by a substantial increase in depreciation and amortization, or D&A, charges, which jumped from $39.9 million in FY 2023 to $69.3 million in FY 2024. The real story here is that while adjusted EBITDA shows fantastic operational cash flow, the true economic cost of their acquisition binge, reflected in rising D&A from purchased assets, is quietly eating into their reported net income. It's the hidden non-cash cost of their supercharged growth strategy, and that gap is widening, meaning more of their earnings are tied up in non-cash accounting entries.
That's a really important distinction, the difference between reported operational cash flow, that adjusted EBITDA number, and the true economic cost over time reflected in net income. It makes me think about how sustainable that cash flow generation is. What about their returns on capital? And how effective are they at generating actual cash flow that isn't just an accounting entry?
Right. Well, TerraVest has demonstrated a strong ability to generate compelling returns and robust cash flow. They've maintained a high return on equity, or ROE, recently reporting in the range of 22.5% to 24.7%. Their return on invested capital, ROIC, was recently reported at a healthy 11.6%. These figures generally indicate that management has been effective in deploying its capital base to generate profits for shareholders, suggesting their acquisitions are indeed generally accretive. In terms of cash flow, after a period of investment that led to negative free cash flow in FY 2022, TerraVest delivered a dramatic turnaround. Cash flow from operations, CFO, surged by 97% in FY 2024 to $156.5 million, up from $79.2 million in the prior year. This led to a record $100 million in free cash flow for FY 2024. However, it's important to note a significant caveat here. This increase was partly due to a substantial reduction in inventory levels as post-pandemic supply chains normalized. This was a one-time-like boost from working capital release, which isn't a sustainable source of cash year after year. As they continue to grow, working capital will likely become a use of cash again, not a source.
So while impressive, investors need to understand the underlying drivers.
That's a crucial detail. A cash flow surge from inventory reduction isn't the same as pure operational growth, and it won't be repeatable. It's like finding extra cash in your old jeans, great, but you can't rely on it every day. How does all this rapid growth and acquisition activity impact their capital structure and overall financial position, especially with all that debt we talked about?
Well, the company's rapid growth has been clearly fueled by an increasing reliance on debt, resulting in a highly leveraged balance sheet. As you can see in the financial summaries, specifically in Table 1 if you're looking at the research, as of September 30, 2024, their total debt was $303 million, while total equity stood at $399.6 million. This results in a high debt-to-equity ratio of 243.3%. That's quite high. Their balance sheet also shows significant year-over-year increases in goodwill, from $24.0 million in FY 2023 to $77.6 million in FY 2024. And intangible assets from $29.7 million to $58.1 million. These figures directly reflect the purchase price allocation from acquisitions, representing the premium paid over tangible assets, a lot of value tied up in those intangibles. To support this aggressive strategy, TerraVest upsides its credit facility to $310 million in October 2023. And critically, the subsequent $279 million equity offering in May 2025 was explicitly intended to repay debt incurred from recent acquisitions and strengthen the balance sheet for future opportunities. This shows a clear strategic priority to manage leverage after big deals.
It's a dynamic approach to balancing growth with financial flexibility, but it's definitely a tightrope walk.
that picture of leveraging up and then deleveraging through equity or cash flow is really playing out in their financials, almost like a recurring theme, as you said. So let's look ahead. What does the road ahead look like for TerraVest? How do they plan to continue their growth? And what are the key opportunities, especially now that Ntrans is on board?
The primary engine for TerraVest's growth remains, unequivocally, its M&A program. Management has clearly stated its intention to continue pursuing its long-term acquisition strategy. They'll be leveraging its now strengthened balance sheet following the recent equity offering. Their acquisition criteria remain consistent. They're looking for complementary businesses with quality brands, standalone operational capability, and, crucially, attractive valuations. They want to buy, not fix. However, the key forward-looking opportunity, and indeed the most significant test of their strategy, lies in the successful integration of the recently acquired businesses, especially the transformative Ntrans deal. Realizing the expected synergies, maintaining the operational performance of these new units, and managing the increased scale and complexity will be absolutely critical to justifying the capital deployed. The market will be watching this very closely. It's a huge integration puzzle, and their ability to continue identifying suitable targets in niche markets and acquiring them at accretive multiples will determine the sustainability of their high-growth trajectory.
The recent upsized equity offering suggests strong institutional support for this strategy, which is a good sign. But the burden of execution falls entirely on management.
That's clear. Ntrans is the big one to watch. Beyond acquisitions, do they have any significant organic growth prospects? Or is the story really just about buying more companies?
No, it's not just about buying companies, though that is the dominant narrative for sure. TerraVest also actively pursues organic growth through several avenues. They see opportunities for market share expansion in areas where they are leaders but don't have a monopoly, leveraging their existing scale, broader product offerings, and national distribution network to gain share from smaller competitors. It's about leveraging their existing strengths. They also invest in new product development and innovation, a particularly noteworthy organic growth initiative, and one that I think could be a crucial pivot for them, is the development of equipment for the renewable natural gas or biogas sector. This is where they can tap into a massive secular trend of global energy transition and decarbonization, potentially opening up new, higher growth revenue streams and attracting new investors focused on ESG themes. This could be a crucial pivot for them, diversifying their energy exposure into a very different growing market. They also consistently allocate capital to capacity expansion and efficiency improvements to meet demand, reduce costs, and improve quality, which is, you know, standard for a well-run manufacturer.
That push into renewable natural gas could be a really significant long-term play, moving them beyond traditional fossil fuels.
What about geographic expansion? Are they looking beyond Canada and the U.S., or is their focus squarely on North America for now?
Currently, TerraVest's operations are concentrated solely in Canada and the United States. While they have a strong national presence in Canada, their recent acquisitions, such as Highland Tank, Mississippi Tank, and now Ntrans, demonstrate a clear strategic push to grow their American footprint. This provides further geographic diversification within North America and access to the larger U.S. market for industrial and transportation equipment. They haven't signaled any immediate plans for overseas expansion. The success of these strategic initiatives, both M&A and organic, hinges on management's execution. Their track record is strong, but the increasing scale of the company certainly presents new and larger challenges than they've faced before.
All right, let's talk about the guiding hand behind all of this, the management team and their ownership structure. What's their track record, and how are they aligned with shareholders? TerraVest is indeed led by a management team whose primary strength lies in strategic capital allocation and particularly M&A execution. Dr. Dustin Ha, appointed CEO in February 2017, has presided over the company's most significant period of growth and transformation. He's responsible for operations, acquisitions, and overall strategy, with over 8 years of tenure providing valuable continuity and deep understanding of the business. Charles Pellerin has been the executive chairman since 2014 and is a major shareholder, so his interests are very closely tied to the company's performance. And Mitchell Gilbert, as Chief Investment Officer, plays an absolutely central role in the M&A strategy that defines the company. Their collective track record speaks for itself, showing significant growth in revenue, EBITDA, and cash flow through successful acquisitions and integration.
That level of experience and consistency at the top is valuable, suggesting a steady hand. And what about ownership? How much skin do these insiders have in the game, tying their personal fortunes to the company's success?
Ah, yes, skin in the game.
A key feature of TerraVest's governance is its significant insider and concentrated ownership. As of mid-2025, individual insiders collectively owned a substantial portion of the company. Executive Chairman Charles Pellerin holds approximately 15.7% of the company, making him a very significant shareholder. CEO Dustin Haw holds 0.81% of the company, which, given TerraVest's market cap, is worth over $29 million. That's significant personal wealth tied up there. This high skin in the game aligns management with shareholders as their personal wealth is directly tied to the company's performance. Furthermore, the top 25 shareholders own over 52% of the company, providing stability and a long-term focus, though it could potentially limit the influence of smaller public shareholders on day-to-day decisions.
That sounds like a strong alignment, which usually is seen as a positive sign by the market, but here's where something really stands out. There's been some pretty significant insider trading activity recently, hasn't there? It seems to contradict that skin-in-the-game narrative a bit.
Indeed, this is a critical data point for analysis, and it's something that always catches investors' eyes. It certainly caught ours. In the months of May and June 2025, following a significant run-up in the stock price and the announcement of that large equity offering, there was a wave of substantial selling by top executives and directors. CEO Dustin Haw sold 60,000 shares for $9.8 million. Executive Chairman Charles Pellerin sold a total of 40,000 shares across two transactions for $6.76 million. And CIO Mitchell Gilbert sold 23,500 shares for $3.8 million. Other senior officers also sold significant blocks of shares. This isn't just executives cashing out a few options. It's a pretty broad-based sell-off at the top.
That's a lot of money and a lot of shares being moved by the very people at the helm. What's the interpretation of that, especially given the context of a company touting aggressive growth and a strong future?
It raises a big question mark, doesn't it? It absolutely does. While insiders may sell for various personal reasons, diversification, estate planning, liquidity needs, whatever the timing and magnitude of these sales occurring at or near all-time highs for the stock could be interpreted by the market as a strong signal. A signal that insiders themselves view the shares as being fully valued or perhaps even overvalued at current levels. This certainly contrasts with the continued bullish growth narrative, and it's a key point for the bear case. It raises uncomfortable questions for investors to consider. If management is so confident, why are they selling into the strength?
It definitely adds a layer of complexity to the narrative, and it's a data point that no investor can ignore. Beyond that, what about their broader corporate governance? Are there any red flags there, or does it seem pretty standard?
From a governance standpoint, they appear to be following standard practices generally. TerraVest's board of directors includes several independent directors providing oversight to management. The company holds annual shareholder meetings where directors are elected and the auditor is appointed. They've also implemented policies related to ethical conduct and modern slavery, including a supplier code of conduct, demonstrating attention to broader ESG governance matters, which is increasingly important to investors. Executive compensation is a mix of salary and bonuses, including stock and options, designed to align pay with performance. Though, as we just discussed, the insider selling might make some question the degree of that alignment at certain times.
All right, let's switch gears and talk about the flip side of opportunity. Risk. Every investment has them, and TerraVest, with its aggressive strategy and cyclical markets, clearly has some unique ones. What are the main operational risks they face day-to-day in their factories and distribution centers?
The operational risks are quite significant, given the nature of their manufacturing business and the products they produce. First, there's input cost volatility. As we discussed, their manufacturing segments are heavily dependent on steel. Global fluctuations in steel prices can significantly impact production costs. Their inability to immediately pass these cost increases on to customers can lead to margin compression, especially in volatile periods. It's a constant battle to manage those fluctuating material costs. Second, liability and insurance. The very nature of TerraVest's products, particularly pressure vessels and transport vehicles for hazardous materials, exposes the company to potential product liability, defect, and general liability claims. While they maintain insurance, there's no guarantee that coverage will be sufficient to cover all potential claims, which could result in material financial liabilities. One major incident could be very costly. Third, labor and key personnel. TerraVest's success depends heavily on its ability to attract and retain skilled personnel, particularly in specialized manufacturing roles. Labor shortages or rising labor costs could impair productivity and profitability. Furthermore, the company's performance is highly reliant on its senior management team, particularly their expertise in M&A. The loss could keep personnel, especially a core M&A team member,
could significantly weaken strategic execution. And finally, information technology and cybersecurity. Like any modern manufacturer, TerraVest relies on complex IT systems for its operations, from order processing to manufacturing controls. A significant cybersecurity breach or system failure could lead to operational disruptions, data loss, and severe reputational damage, impacting their ability to serve customers. That's a risk for almost every company today.
Those are tangible operational concerns, especially with the reliance on skilled labor and the sheer complexity of their products. What about risks tied to their end markets and the cyclical nature of their business? How exposed are they to the broader economy?
Their demand sensitivity is a major factor. Demand for TerraVest products is cyclical and highly sensitive to a range of external factors. In the energy-facing segments, demand is tied directly to the capital spending of oil and gas producers, which is notoriously volatile and dependent on commodity prices. In the HVAC and compressed gas segments, demand is influenced by regional weather patterns. Think about those warm winters reducing heating demand and agricultural cycles. This means external factors completely out of their control can significantly move the needle on their revenue and profitability. Then there's customer concentration. Their processing equipment and service segments, as we noted, derive a significant portion of their revenue from a limited base of large energy producers. The loss of or significant reduction in business from one or more of these major customers would have a material adverse effect on the financial performance of these segments. That's a kind of single point of failure risk. And of course, competition. All of TerraVest's markets, despite their niche leadership, are highly competitive. They face pressure from both large, well-capitalized competitors with deeper pockets and smaller, lower-cost regional players who can sometimes undercut on price. Increased competitive intensity could pressure their pricing and market share, eroding those moats we discussed earlier.
So even with those competitive advantages, they're not immune to the inherent pressures of competitive markets or the unpredictable swings of commodity prices and weather. What about their financial risks? That high debt-to-equity ratio you mentioned earlier sounds like a big one.
Financially, their leverage and restrictive covenants are a significant concern. The company's aggressive use of debt to fund its acquisition strategy results in substantial financial leverage. As of a recent report, their debt-to-equity ratio was high at 243.3%. High leverage significantly increases financial risk by dedicating a substantial portion of cash flow to interest payments, reducing the company's ability to withstand business downturns and limiting its flexibility for future investments. The company's credit facilities also contain restrictive covenants that could limit its operational and financial flexibility, including its ability to pay dividends if certain financial thresholds are breached. It's a double-edged sword. Debt fuels growth, but also introduces fragility. Finally, there's foreign exchange risk. A significant portion of TerraVest sales are denominated in U.S. dollars, while a smaller portion of its expenses are. An appreciation of the Canadian dollar relative to the U.S. dollar would negatively impact reported earnings when translated back to Canadian dollars. The company does use hedging instruments, but it does not fully hedge its exposure, leaving it vulnerable to currency fluctuations, which are largely outside of their control.
And finally, what are the big strategic risks, particularly given their growth by acquisition model? This seems like the most crucial category, given their entire strategy is built on it.
This is arguably the most significant risk facing the company, precisely because their entire growth model depends on it. M&A integration risk. Their growth by acquisition strategy carries inherent risks, including the failure to successfully integrate personnel and systems, the failure to realize expected synergies, incurring unplanned costs, and potentially impairing relationships with customers and employees of the acquired businesses. The sheer scale of the recent Entrans acquisition magnifies this risk substantially. This is the big one. If Entrans doesn't go smoothly, if revenues disappoint or cost balloon, it could be a major setback that impacts the entire company and its market perception. Related to that is goodwill impairment. The company's balance sheet carries a large and growing amount of goodwill and intangible assets from its acquisitions. If an acquired business underperforms relative to the assumptions made at the time of purchase, the company could be forced to take a non-cash impairment charge. This would negatively impact reported net income and equity. Even though it doesn't affect cash flow directly, it's a clear signal of value destruction.
Those are certainly a lot of moving parts and potential challenges, especially when you consider the scale of Entrans. Let's move on to the price tag. How is TerraVest valued in the market right now, and what do those numbers imply about investor expectations?
Yeah, the stock has experienced a dramatic run-up, and its current multiples reflect very high expectations for future growth. It's priced for near perfection, you could say. As of mid-2025, Terravest currently trades at high valuation multiples compared to historical norms and the broader market. Its trailing 12-month price-to-earnings, or PE, ratio is elevated, with various sources reporting it in the range of 41x to 49x. That's quite high for an industrial company. This is significantly higher than many of its more mature industrial and energy service peers. Its price-to-book, or PB, ratio is also high, recently reported at approximately 7.7x to 7.9x. These multiples indicate that the market is pricing in a significant amount of future earnings growth, largely predicated on the successful integration of recent acquisitions and the continuation of the M&A strategy. Investors are giving them a lot of credit for future execution.
What's fascinating here is that Terravest trades at such a substantial premium to its peer group. Can you give us some examples of how much of a premium that is and why the market might be willing to pay that?
Absolutely. When we compare Terravest to its publicly traded peers in the Canadian oil and gas equipment and services sector, the premium is striking. For instance, looking at Table 4 in the research, Terravest's PE ratio of, let's say, around 49x is more than 5 times higher than that of peers like CES Energy Solutions, which trades at around 8x PE, or Trican Well Service at approximately 10x PE. Even on a price-to-sales basis, Terravest is at 3.39x, while CES is 0.76x, and Enerflex is 0.43x. It's a huge difference. This substantial premium can be justified by Terravest's significantly higher growth rate and demonstrated success with its M&A model. The market loves a growth story. However, it also implies a lower margin for safety if that growth were to slow or disappoint. The market is betting on continued flawless execution.
That makes sense. The market is giving them a lot of credit for their growth, but it leaves little room for error, as you say. Beyond traditional multiples, how would a sum of the parts or SOTP valuation work for a company like this, given its diverse segments? Is that a useful way to look at it?
Yes, I think it is. Given Terravest's operation as a portfolio of distinct businesses, a sum of the parts, or SOTP, analysis is a highly relevant valuation methodology. This approach involves valuing each of the four operating segments separately and then summing them to arrive at an enterprise value. For example, their HVAC and containment segment could be valued against comparable building products and industrial manufacturing companies. The compressed gas equipment segment, especially with the Intrans acquisition, would be valued against industrial gas equipment manufacturers and transportation equipment companies. The processing equipment and service segments could then be valued against oil and gas equipment and service peers, like those we just discussed. This methodology allows for a more nuanced valuation that accounts for the different growth profiles and risk characteristics of each segment. The primary challenge, however, lies in obtaining sufficient public data for directly comparable niche businesses, as many are privately held, making it difficult to find precise comparables. So it's easier said than done.
So it's conceptually strong, but practically challenging to execute without private market data. What about a discounted cash flow or DCF analysis? What assumptions would really make or break that kind of model for Terravest, especially given their acquisition-led growth?
A DCF analysis for Terravest would be highly sensitive to several key assumptions, making it quite difficult to pin down a precise intrinsic value. It really depends on what you plug in. First, revenue growth. Forecasting revenue requires making explicit assumptions about the pace and scale of future acquisitions, which is inherently difficult and unpredictable. A base case might assume a deceleration from the recent torrid pace, with organic growth settling to the low to mid single digits, which is more typical for industrial businesses. Second, EBITDA margins. The forecast would need to consider whether the recent margin expansion is sustainable or if it will revert closer to historical averages as the company integrates larger, potentially lower margin businesses like Entrans. Third, capital expenditures. It's crucial to differentiate accurately between maintenance and growth CapEx. A realistic forecast must assume maintenance CapEx grows with the expanding asset base, and that growth CapEx continues to be deployed effectively and accretively into new projects or acquisitions. And finally, the discount rate, or WACC. The weighted average cost of capital would need to reflect the company's higher leverage and the inherent cyclicality of its end markets, potentially demanding a higher discount rate than a more stable business. Given the current high valuation, it strongly suggests the market is already using fairly optimistic assumptions for these inputs, so any deviation, even a small one, could have a significant impact on the estimated intrinsic value. Sensitivity analysis on these key drivers would be absolutely essential to understand the true range of potential values.
That really underscores the complexity and the fine line they're walking. Now let's bring it all together. What's the investment thesis here? What's the bull case, the optimistic view, and what's the bear case for a Terravest? It feels like we have a lot of evidence supporting both sides.
You're right. There's a strong case to be made on both sides. The bull case for Terravest is centered on the premise that the company is a truly superior capital allocator and a highly effective consolidator in niche industrial markets. The idea is that it will continue to execute its proven strategy successfully, compounding value for shareholders over the long term. The primary driver is their proven M&A engine. Management has a demonstrated ability to consistently identify, acquire, and integrate market-leading businesses in a manner that is accretive to free cash flow per share. This long track record inspires confidence that this repeatable process can continue to generate significant value. They also boast leadership in defensible niches, holding hashtag one or top-tier market positions in specialized markets like home heating oil tanks and Canadian LPG transport equipment provides a stable, high-margin foundation of earnings. These positions are protected by strong barriers such as scale, brand reputation, and extensive distribution networks. Then there's strong operational execution and margin expansion. Terravest has not just grown through acquisition, it has grown more profitably. The steady expansion of gross and adjusted EBITDA margins demonstrates effective cost control and the successful integration of higher margin businesses. They also generate robust cash flow and shareholder returns. Despite its high growth, the company generates substantial operating cash flow, which has allowed for a consistent and growing dividend. The very low dividend payout ratio of approximately 10% provides a high degree of safety and significant capacity for future increases, suggesting management could raise it significantly without strain. And finally, they have a significant growth runway. With a strengthened balance sheet post-equity offering and a stated focus on continuing its M&A strategy, the company is well positioned to pursue further growth. The fragmented nature of its target markets suggests a long runway for future consolidation opportunities, meaning plenty of fish in the sea for them to acquire.
That's a powerful argument for the bulls, painting a picture of a disciplined, growth-oriented machine. But every coin has two sides, as they say. What's the bear case scenario, the counter-argument, and what are the key risks that could derail this growth story?
The bear case focuses on the escalating risks associated with Terravest's aggressive growth strategy, its financial structure, and the inherent cyclicality of its businesses. It argues that the company might be approaching a tipping point where the complexity outweighs the benefits. First, the extreme M&A and integration risk. The recent acquisition of Entrans is an incredibly large, even bet-the-company-sized deal relative to Terravest's historical scale. A failure to smoothly integrate this massive new business, or a significant downturn in the broader trailer market, could severely impair financial results and potentially invalidate the premium valuation. The strategy's future success is now heavily dependent on flawless execution of these large-scale integrations, and history is littered with companies that stumbled on this exact challenge. Second, high financial leverage. The extensive use of debt to fuel acquisitions has resulted in a highly leveraged balance sheet. This increases financial risk, makes the company more vulnerable to economic downturns or rising interest rates, and could severely constrain flexibility if operating performance falters, potentially forcing them into more dilutive equity raises or even debt covenant breaches. Third, the inherent cyclicality of end markets. Terravest's businesses are fundamentally tied to pro-cyclical industries like energy, agriculture, construction, and transportation. A broad macroeconomic slowdown would likely impact all segments, potentially leading to a sharp contraction in revenue and earnings that the current high valuation is simply not priced for. The market seems to be overlooking this inherent cyclicality sometimes. Fourth, the significant insider selling. The wave of heavy selling by top executives, including the CEO, chairman, and CIO, at or near all-time stock highs is a significant bearish data point. While personal reasons always exist, the timing and magnitude raise serious questions about management's view of the company's near-term valuation and prospects. It's hard to ignore. And finally, the valuation premium implies no margin for error. The stock traded at a substantial premium to its peers, pricing in years of successful growth. Any stumble in execution, slowdown in organic growth, or compression in margins could lead to a significant derating of the stock's valuation multiple, resulting in a sharp correction.
Those are clearly two very distinct viewpoints, each with compelling evidence. So what are the potential catalysts that could push the stock in either direction, confirming either the bull or bear case in the near term?
Right. What could move the needle? On the positive side, catalysts could include a smooth and truly successful integration of Entrans, with synergy realization meeting or even exceeding expectations,
leading to higher than forecasted earnings. That would be huge. The announcement of another significant value accretive acquisition, even after Entrans, would also likely be seen as positive, demonstrating the pipeline's depth and management's confidence. Sustained organic growth in the base business, particularly if the biogas equipment segment takes off, would be a strong signal. And continued strong cash flow generation leading to accelerated debt paydown and further dividend increases would certainly delight shareholders. On the negative side, potential catalysts include clear evidence of integration problems with Entrans or other recent acquisitions, leading to revenue or margin disappointments in quarterly reports. A sharp downturn in key end markets, such as North American freight volumes or Western Canadian energy activity, would also be a negative. Any breach of debt covenants or the need for an emergency dilutive equity raise due to financial distress would be a major concern, as would further significant selling by key insiders. These are the flashpoints to watch.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener, when we assess the risk-reward here? It feels like a high-stakes game, really.
It does feel that way. At its current valuation, TerraVest Industries offers a high-growth, high-risk proposition. The potential reward is tied to the continuation of a successful serial acquisition strategy that could truly compound value for years to come, building on their impressive proven track record. If they continue to execute perfectly, the potential upside could be significant. However, the risk is that the company's operational and financial complexity has reached a tipping point where a misstep in execution or a cyclical downturn could lead to substantial downside, as the premium valuation leaves little room for error. The risk-reward balance is highly dependent on an investor's confidence in the management team's ability to navigate the increasing challenges of its own success. It raises an important question. Is their past success a guarantee of future performance, especially as the deals get bigger and bigger, testing their integration capabilities to their absolute limit?
That's a powerful thought to leave us with. We've taken a fascinating journey through TerraVest's unique business model, its specific growth drivers, the competitive landscape it navigates, its financial performance, and crucially, the critical bull versus bear debate surrounding its future. It truly demonstrates how a company can achieve massive scale not through invention, but through the mastery of strategic acquisition. Our hope is that this deep dive has provided you with a shortcut to being well-informed about a complex industrial company that's truly doing something unique in the market. We've dug into the nuances, uncovered the surprising facts, and laid out the different perspectives for you to consider. As TerraVest continues its ambitious acquisition journey, consider this. How much larger can a company built solely on acquiring niche market leaders get before the niche itself becomes too big to hide in? Before their unique advantages begin to erode, potentially forcing them into less attractive, broader markets? It's a question that challenges the very definition of a niche as a company scales from millions to billions. Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. We encourage you to reflect on these insights, consider the various perspectives, and perhaps even conduct your own mini deep dive on a company or topic that intrigues you. Until next time, keep digging deeper.